Inshallah, a brief lesson of tafsir will take place. Just participate, inshallah, and beneficial. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم ما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. ان شاء الله we'll continue our lesson of tafsir of the Quran. We're continuing Surah Al-Kahf. Many ayahs have spanned over the last few weeks where we're discussing the companions of the cave, the Ashabul Kahf. And some details about the Ashabul Kahf were mentioned in the Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and certain details were not mentioned, and I filled in the gaps from what we understand, from what the Mufassirun, the scholars of tafsir, have written. And again, there's so much diversity, variety of opinions. Different Mufassirun say different things. And these are not required for us to understand the detail. What we need to understand is whatever Allah Ta'ala wants us to understand. And anything Allah Ta'ala wants us to understand is mentioned in the Quran. Anything that is required for us to know, required for us to understand, has been detailed inside of the Holy Quran. So this is the last ayah which is connected to the story of the people of the cave. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولبثوا في كهفهم 300 سنين وازدادوا 9 قل الله أعلم بما لبثوا له غيب السماوات والأرض أبصر به وأسمع ما لهم من دونه من ولي ولا يشرك في حكمه أحدا. صدق الله العظيم. Allah Ta'ala states, وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ. And they remained, the Ashabul Kahf, the companions, the youngsters, لَبِثُوا, they remained, they stayed. فِي كَهْفِهِمْ, in their cave, 300 سِنِينَ, 300 years. وَزْدَادُوا 9, and they added another 9 years. وَزْدَادُوا, it's a fi'l madhi past tense, which means they added, a group of people added, Tis'an, another 9. So what does this mean? Firstly, we have the time here. Allah Ta'ala is highlighting, specifying, وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ. The Ashabul Kahf, they remain in the cave for how many years? 300 years. 300 years. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَزْدَادُوا 9, and they added another 9. What does that mean, they added another 9? Mufassirun have discussed this. One opinion is that the Christians and the Jews, Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book, their misunderstanding or their confusion or their wrong figure that they had in their mind was 309 years. That's one opinion. Wazdadu, they added. Who added? The Ahlul Kitab, the Yahud and Nasara. Mistakenly, they have added another 9 years, whereas Allah Ta'ala is saying it's only 300 years. One opinion. The stronger opinion, and we see from here the Mufassirun's sharp intelligence, Hafiz ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi, and others have followed from Allama ibn Jarir al-Tabri and others, that the solar years are different to the lunar years. The solar calendar is different to the lunar calendar. Solar calendar is a Gregorian calendar, the English calendar that we follow, isn't it? In 1 year, there's 365 days. And the lunar calendar is the calendar which we follow as Muslims, which the Islamic months are based off. And there's a big difference in the lunar and solar calendar, but I think by almost 10 days. That's why every 35 to 40 years, you will have an entire extra year in the lunar calendar, which you will not have in the solar calendar. That's why it's so important. Even our ibadat, our worship, our base should be based off the lunar calendar. Rather, our ibadat are based off, at times based off the lunar calendar, and at times based off the sun as well. وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ بِحُسْبَانِ In Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah Ta'ala says, وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ بِحُسْبَانِ The sun and the moon are both used to determine time. The sun, our salahs. How do we estimate whether it's zuhr time, asr time? Based on the sun, not the moon. However, the moon is based on the lunar years. Moon is based on fasting. Moon is based on Eid. Or rather, Eid is based on the moon. Fasting is based on the moon. Similarly, zakat is one of the most important ones. Zakat. How do you determine whether it's time for you to give your zakat or not? You base it off the lunar calendar. Because if somebody based it off the solar calendar, I give my zakat on the 1st of January every year. What will happen is, after 35 years, you'll have missed an entire... Imagine someone lives for 70 years, and they've been given their zakat based on January the 1st, they will have missed 1 year, possibly two entire years of zakat, because their calculation is wrong. That's why it's necessary to follow the lunar calendar. So the lunar calendar. وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ 300 years, the scholars of Tafsir, Hafiz ibn Kathir and others have mentioned that 300 years in the lunar calendar is equivalent to 309 years of the solar calendar. So subhanAllah, وَزْدَادُوا تِسْعَى Then it means, the وَزْدَادُوا And they added, it means the people of the cave added another 9 years. Or the Christians added another 9 years because they calculate or estimate days according to the solar calendar. So all the opinions have been encompassed here. So 300 years according to the lunar calendar, the Ashab al-Kahf stayed, and 309 years according to the solar calendar. Hisab Shamsiya, they stayed in their cave. I'm going to leave this slides. You can't probably see from there anyway, and I'm explaining the points anyway. If you want to see the slides, I've got some. But the later ayahs, I've just decided to put the ayah and the translation. I don't have time to always put the slides or find the right points. Allah Ta'ala says, how many points are you going to put? If you read even one tafsir, you can't put all the points. There's so many important points. And then he said, it's a challenge to figure out which points should I put on the slides and which points should I leave out. قُلِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثُوا Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ سَيْءُ مُحَمَّدْ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثُوا Allah knows best how long they stayed. Meaning, the information has now been given to you. Allah Ta'ala knows best. You don't need to discuss this anymore. Did they stay for this many years or this many years? Allah has now clarified, subhanahu wa ta'ala, how many years they stayed in the cave, which is according to, unanimously, according to the scholars of tafsir, 300 years. Okay? لَهُ غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ To him, to Allah Ta'ala belongs غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ All the hidden matters of the samawat, of the heavens and the earth. Everything which is unknown to mankind in the heavens and the earth, Allah Ta'ala knows. All the knowledge of the unseen, all the information of the unseen, Allah Ta'ala has this information. Anbiya alayhi salam has given certain glimpses of that information through wahi, revelation. The awliya, the salihun, the pious people many times have given glimpses of the unseen through other methods which the ulama have detailed as kashf and ilham. Kashf, where the veil which is separating us from the unseen removes slightly. Certain fact they may figure out, certain incident they may understand. So it's for a second. So they won't get all the information, it'll be specific information which Allah Ta'ala gives. Ilham is another one. Kashf is stronger than ilham. Kashf is where the person actually sees something. Right? Kashf is where the pious person, they were not talking about Nabi. Nabi has wahi, which is the greatest, strongest form of ilmul ghaib. Right? Knowledge of the unseen that person, that Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would not have had if Allah had not revealed it to him. And then the second level is kashf. Kashf is where a pious person, remember the person has to meet the standards where a Muslim can say this is a wali of Allah, a saint of Allah. They should stay away from all major sins and to the best of their ability minor sins, and they should fulfill all the ahkam commandments of Allah Ta'ala to the best of their ability. And then beyond that, they will have probably extra a'mal, you know, good deeds that they do. So kashf is where such a person sees something. Something he sees that he's not supposed to see. It's unseen. So kashf, it's exposed. Some fact of the unseen is exposed. Kashf happens in broad daylight. It doesn't happen in dreams. Dreams is different. Kashf happens in broad daylight, where they see something that they weren't supposed to. Sometimes they might see a person, and they might, some reality of that person may open up to them. We find this, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajma'in used to do it. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a person came and sat in his gathering, and his face became very red. Red. And he'd said, some of you come and sit in my gathering after your eyes have committed zina. And that person realized straight away, Ya Allah, when I walked down the road, my eyes looked at a non-mahram person. So for Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala became apparent. And many, you know, the Sahaba ridwanullahi ajma'in, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he's standing on the mihrab, on the minbar, and he says, Ya Sariya, Al-Jabal, Al-Jabal. He had sent out a group of soldiers under the command of Sayyidina Sariya radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And as they were traveling, the enemy was coming from behind the mountain, and they were about to ambush Sayyidina Umar Sariya and his group of soldiers. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, sitting on the minbar in Medina Munawwara, shouts out, Ya Sariya, Al-Jabal, Al-Jabal. Oh Sariya, the mountain, the mountain. And Sayyidina Sariya, when he returns, he says, we were just traveling, you know, without paying attention. We thought the enemy is ahead of us. We've got plenty of distance to cover. And then all of a sudden, we heard a voice saying, Ya Sariya, Al-Jabal, Al-Jabal. So we looked at the mountain and we saw the enemy coming from behind us. And straight away, we reorganized our forces and we, defeated the enemy. This is kashf. This is called kashf, where the pious person sees something with their eyes that otherwise should be from the ghaib, from the unseen. And from the awliya ikram, the great saints of Allah, pious saints of Allah, there are so many incidents of kashf. So many incidents. So look, miracles, miracles performed by the saints of Allah Ta'ala, this is part of our aqidah, our beliefs. Imam Tahawi rahmatullah is detailed in his aqidah Tahawiyya, karamatul awliya'i haqqun. The karamat, the miracles of the saints are true. Anbiya alayhimu salam, the prophets, they had mu'jizat. Mu'jizat are miracles that only Anbiya alayhimu salam can perform, the prophets. And awliya, the saints of Allah Ta'ala, they have miracles which we call karamat. But some people who are not saints of Allah, not pious people, not awliya, can also do things which go against the laws of nature. If they are not Muslims, or if they are not pious people, then what we will call that is istidraj. Istidraj. Istidraj, something which defies nature, however it's performed at the hands of someone who is either a flagrant open sinner, or someone who is a non-Muslim. Because you see, Allah Ta'ala is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has created capabilities inside of the human body, inside of the human mind, that if a person really trains their body, their mind, different things, they can achieve things which to other people will be almost impossible. If you go to the Buddhist monks, who for many, many years meditate and do all these different spiritual practices, they'll do certain things which will blow us away. Like, what is this person doing? How is he able to accomplish? I'm not talking about, you know, doing a splits or doing some flying kick or something. I'm talking about with their mind, their mental power. You go to India, the yogis there. What do they call them? Yogis, man, in India. So many things they can do. Because they've understood what the soul is capable of, what certain elements Allah has created, subhanahu wa ta'ala, inside the human body, what it's capable of, and they can do certain things. But we will not call them miracles. We will not call them miracles. They may have the ability to understand a person in a certain way. A person thinks, what? How has this person got so much knowledge? Remember, Dajjal is going to come. Dajjal is going to do certain things that will totally blow us away. He will make rain fall. Where there is no rain and crops are not growing, he will make rain fall. Rain is rizq that Allah Ta'ala gives, and the angel Mikael alayhi salam is deputed to bring this rizq. Dajjal will make rain fall. And you will have lots of people who lose their iman just on this. How many countries, how many areas, there's no rain, there's no water, famine, drought. Dajjal will make rain appear. And then they will give This is the person that we needed. So this is why it's very important for us to differentiate. Mu'jiza, no one can perform it, that door is closed. Anbiya alayhi salam, only prophets could do it. Karamat can still be performed at the hands of pious people. They have to tick the boxes of Sharia. They have to be Muslim. They have to be pious, meaning they stay away from major sins and to the best of ability, minor sins. And they have to be following the command, the laws of Allah, the commands of Allah. And we can add another condition there, that they should never claim piety, neither should they claim to be able to perform miracles. All of the pious people, and even really pious people, go to the Anbiya alayhi salam. Whenever they would perform miracles, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam's mu'jizat are mentioned in the Quran. Whenever he would perform them, he would say, "This is not from me. This is something that Allah has given me." Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam was given this interpretation of dreams. Whatever he said would come true. As we see in Surah Yusuf, it's mentioned. It says, "Ma'allamani Rabbi." This is something my Rabb has taught me. Always they would say, "This is from Allah. It's nothing to do with me." Yeah. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, when he would give life to the dead, he would cure the leper, he would cure the blind person, he would say, all of this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed me to do this. In the Quran, it details, it explains. Similarly, the awliya kiram, many of the pious people, when they would do miracles, they would never claim miracles. Rather, if you said this was a miracle, they say, it's nothing. What's a miracle? They would say, how am I to have miracles, you know, taking place at my hands? So this is actual piety where a person, if a person is a claimant, oh yes, I can do this, I can do this. I got the chuf chuf peer. Yeah? Chuf chuf chuf, everything is better. Yeah? So these type of things, someone who is a claimant, that I can do this and I can achieve this and I can achieve this and I can achieve this, this is not, because we always have to look at the historical background of the pious people, the saints, how they were, the Anbiya alayhim salam, how they were. Has anyone ever been like this? Where they claim, oh, I'm so pious, come to me and I will sort your problems out. Come to me and I will do this. Come to you. Rather, the opposite was true. They would say, I'm not able to do anything. I can't do anything. I'm incapable. I'm weak. The great Bayazid Bustami, rahmatullahi alayhi, the great saint of Allah Ta'ala. You know, he was doing many spiritual actions, deeds, ibadat, dhikr, etc. Once he, in a dream, he saw himself speaking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a dream. And he said, Ya Rabbi, please tell me something. I just need something to just forget about everything and go to you. I just want to forget everybody else and become yours. I just want you to become mine. And in the dream, the response was given, O Bayazid, da'a nafsaka wa ta'al. Da'a nafsak, forget yourself. Forget yourself, eradicate yourself, destroy yourself, extinguish yourself, your nafs, that I am something. Totally break yourself, wa ta'ala ankum. Meaning the door to Allah Ta'ala is to make yourself feel that I am absolutely useless, absolutely futile. Me, myself, I am worthless. That is the Allah Ta'ala is saying, da'a nafsak, totally eradicate yourself, destroy yourself, you know, ground yourself, wa ta'ala, and then come. That's the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyone who was a pious saint, and of course the Anbiya alayhi salam, they would have this quality of humility. They would never ever claim miracles. I'm able to perform miracles. So Allah Ta'ala says, لَهُ غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. To Allah belongs the unseen things of the heavens and the earth. Anything which is unseen. All the hidden information, all the facts. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. What is inside of the wombs? Nowadays the scans to figure out, is this a boy, is this a girl? Allah Ta'ala knows what's inside the womb. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورُ وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا. Allah gives sons to whoever He wants, daughters to whoever He wants. Allah keeps childless whoever He wants. Some people, Allah has made a faisal, a decision, not going to have children. And they try so many things. IVF method, they start so many years and years and years and years and years. They'll go to so many pious people for du'as, for this amal, that amal. And there are amal. There are deeds a person can do, there are certain actions a person can do which increases the chance. When someone came to Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, saying, I don't have children, I'm struggling to have children. Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi took two eggs and he read, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ السَّمَاءَ أولم يروا أن السماوات والأرض كانتا رتقا ففتقناهما وجعلنا من الماء كل شيء حي أفلا يؤمنون. And he blew on the two eggs and he said one of the eggs the man must eat and one the woman must eat. They ate those eggs and the woman became, you know, expected a child. So there are certain a'mal the pious people would give. But again, it's all taqdeer. At the end of the day, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision. Has Allah written children for this person or not? All of this, the point of all of this is, Allah ta'ala knows everything which is unseen in the heavens and the earth. Sayyidina Luqman alayhi salam is advising his son, Ya bunayya, O my beloved son, innaha intaku mithqala habbatin min khardal, even if it's a tiny, tiny, tiny seed, fatakun fi sakhra, and that seed is hidden inside of a rock, aw fi samawat, or that seed is hidden anywhere in the heavens, aw fil ard, or anywhere in the earth, ya'ti biha Allah, Allah can bring that seed forward. Allah can bring that tiny seed forward. Yeah. And there are so many incidents of highlighting Allah Ta'ala's knowledge of the unseen. أَبُصِرْ بِهِ وَأَسْمِعْ. How well he sees and how well he hears. أَبُصِرْ بِهِ, in Arabic this is called فِيَلْ تَعَجُّبْ. فِيَلْ تَعَجُّبْ is a verb of astonishment. There are two scales of it. You know, it's something so amazing. Oh, how amazing. One is مَا أَفْعَلَ. So for example, if I say مَا أَحْسَنَ زَيْد. How good is Zayd? Think Zayd is so amazing. So ma af'ala or af'il bihi. So this is on that scale. Abusir bihi wa asmi'. Abusir bihi. How well Allah sees. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is highlighting to us, speaking in our language. Allah ta'ala is speaking. We all know Allah ta'ala sees everything. We all know Allah ta'ala hears everything. But this is highlighting in our language how well Allah ta'ala sees everything, that Allah ta'ala does not miss anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sight encompasses everything. And Allah's sam'a, Allah's hearing also encompasses everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears everything. مَا لَهُم مِّن دُونِهِ مِّن وَلِي. They do not have any guardian apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not have any friend, any supporter apart from Allah ta'ala. People who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in reality, they have no one else other than Allah. They've got no friend other than Allah. They've got no supporter other than Allah. All these false idols that they worship, none of them will be able to benefit them except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any people that they place their trust in, those people will not be able to support them if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not help them. مَا لَهُم مِّن دُونِهِ مِّن وَلِي. They do not have any protector, any friend, any guide, any helper apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يُشْرِكُ فِي حُكْمِهِ أَحَدًا. And no one can share in the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala reigns supreme. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reigns supreme. Allah has sole control of the heavens and the earth. Nobody else has any say in it. So this is all now concluding the story of Ashabul Kahf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the question that the Yahud asked the Prophet as a test. First of all, to answer the question. The question was answered. Secondly, to display the great power of Allah, because his whole story is about displaying Allah Ta'ala's might, Allah Ta'ala's greatness. See, last week I was mentioning Allah's might, Allah's greatness, Allah's power. The whole purpose of creation, every time we perform salah, we say Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. Allah Ta'ala's greatness needs to be imprinted on the mind of the servant. Then the servant of Allah Ta'ala knows how to live their life and to live their life in accordance with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah is capable of. Who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So this was just a demonstration of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then moving on, Allah ta'ala mentions, وَاتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. وَاتْلُ, and recite, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ, that which has been revealed to you, مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ, from the book of your Rabb. Recite, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the people, مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ, whatever has been revealed to you from the book of your Rabb, meaning from the Qur'an, لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ, no one can change the words of it, the words of the Qur'an, or the words of your Rabb. وَلَنْ تَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا, and you will not find any safe place beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After mentioning this, incident of Ashabul Kahf, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to advise Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to highlight to the ummah the importance of tilawa, watlu, and make tilawa and recite whatever has been revealed to you from the book of your Rabb. All the guidance of the dunya and the akhirah are found inside of this Quran. But if a person does not read, does not recite, then how will they discover it?
All the guidance. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu used to say, فِيهِ عِلْمُ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ. This Qur'an has the knowledge of all of the predecessors and all of those who will come after. It's got all the knowledge of everything inside of it. But one must recite it and one must contemplate, تَدَبُّر and تَفَكُّر. So there has to be a time for tilawa and there has to be a time for reflection. But how can a person reflect if they don't understand the Arabic language? Person needs to try and understand the Arabic language. And if you don't understand the Arabic language, at least these durus and these lessons where the scholars discuss and explain the meanings of the Quran is something, you know, it's like a substitute. But everybody should endeavor, it's Allah's kalam, Allah Ta'ala is speaking directly to me. I want to know what Allah is saying. Letter from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the dustur, the guidebook for mankind to gain success. We need to know what Allah Ta'ala is saying. Directly, speaking to me. I can sit down in a quiet time, in a quiet place, and I can recite the Qur'an and I can understand this is directly what Allah Ta'ala is saying to me. وَتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ. And recite that which has been revealed to you from the words of your Rabb, from the book of your Rabb. لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ. There is none who can change his words. لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ. No one can change the words of the Qur'an. Again, this guarantee is already given in the 14th juz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that this Qur'an, Allah ta'ala is the one who revealed it. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. And we will preserve it and protect it till the day of Qiyamah. But here again, this is just emphasizing that. لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ. No one can change the words of this Qur'an. The way the scriptures of old were changed, the Tawrat and the Zabur and the Injil, they were tampered and distorted. The Qur'an will not go through that process. The Qur'an will remain the same Qur'an that came unto the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will remain the same Qur'an all the way till the day of Qiyamah. And it will be that same Qur'an on Yawmul Qiyamah. In Jannah it will be that same Qur'an. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will recite Surah Al-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do tilawat of this. The same Qur'an, directly from the kalam, from the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the Lawh al-Mahfuz. So, inshallah, I think we'll just stop there. Next week we'll continue from this ayah, wasbir nafsaka. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the correct understanding of these ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice upon the few points we have learnt. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdika, shabal, la ilaha illa, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.